This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer, and I am so happy to have back on the podcast today a fellow Betches podcast host, a fellow Bravo lover, and a fellow BravoCon attendee. We were in the trenches together, and so, you know, we're working back up to full strength slowly but surely. Please welcome back to the show, Danny Murphy. Hey, Danny.
Hi, Dylan. Oh my God, no, I know. I've never felt older in my life that I'm like, can I still complain about being in Vegas like over a week ago? As a reason to like not have a drive to do anything.
I got one iTunes review that my Vegas rundown was like pretentious, and I had a great time. Vegas is not for me, and I think it's like, it's not personal, it's just like,
I because like Vegas is not for me either, and I don't, it doesn't come from a place of pretension, it comes from a place that I like am not fun. Like Vegas is, if you're a fun person and your fun is like doing that, you're yes. gonna go all out. Like I like to like lay down and like loud music doesn't do anything for me, so I can't.
It has been a little bit jarring. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is in Vegas right now on their episodes, and then I have been catching up on Married to Medicine. Ooh. I was watching season 9, their last season. And they went to Vegas in that season. So last week, like Thursday, Friday, I had seen like 4 Bravo episodes of Las Vegas in a very short time period. And I was like, okay, it's a little bit much.
You're getting the secondhand smoke from the screen. Because that's all, like, I was like, why am I caught? It's like, you're just, Vegas pumps in like the perfume, but it mixes with the Marlboro lights. And again, if that's for you, book that flight. It's just not for me and Dylan.
Okay, so one residual thing about BravoCon that I think has been interesting to watch online is this idea of Bravo Lebs being asked who they had rude encounters with at yes. BravoCon. This has become such a thing. Like, people talked about it last year. There were questions on panels about, you know, who was the rudest housewife you met mm-hmm. at BravoCon. And so last week, Crystal was talking to E! News, and she said that she had, quote, so many rude encounters at BravoCon, and specifically mentioned both women from old and new Roni. So then people, there's like Reddit threads of people trying to piece together like, oh, well, she took a picture with this person, so it can't be her, and like blah, 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 blah. But then Olivia from Southern Charm commented on an Instagram post about Crystal saying that and said, I thought she was rude. What is your thought on the like rudeness cycle among Bravo Lebs? Is this interesting to you?
I feel there are fascinating, it is fascinating just because it's like worlds colliding, and you never think like while watching them on their respective shows, like, would Olivia and Crystal get along? But I also think it is that added hardship where I'm like, what defines, like, you know how like when people are like, they'll say like, I don't know why this is the first celebrity that came up in my head, Shailene Woodley, or someone's like, oh, she was a bitch in the airport. And I'm like, did she just have to pee and tired? You know what I mean? So it's hard where like grain of salt with it, because also like 3 days at a BravoCon thing, I'm sure everyone, if Crystal bumped into like Kristen Takeman on Sunday, maybe Kristen was tired and didn't give energy. But I do, unfortunately, even with all of those caveats, I scoop up all this shit. I like kind of live for it. And also this is a chance for new feuds to be born. So yeah.
Yeah, right. We have new beefs to squash next year. Yes. It's funny because you don't really get the context of most of these encounters. No. Because it's just like, who was mean? Crystal was mean. And like you're right that I'm sure there are people at BravoCon who are like, you're from what show? Southern Hospitality? I'm not talking to you. Like,
exactly.
There is that energy happening, I'm sure. But then also there's just like Kenya Moore isn't going to know who every first season cast member is on Below Deck. Like, that's not her being rude. That's her having other stuff to do and not keeping up with every show on Bravo. So it is like, I feel like I always take it with a grain of salt, because it's like, some of these people are just tired. And also, there are people on Bravo who watch every show, and there are people who are like, no, this is my job. I don't stick around.
Exactly. And I feel it's like, the newer people are very excited to be on Bravo versus, like you said, like a Kenya Moore. She's not like, oh, happy premiere. She's not like, what? She's going to be like, I'm so excited for your second season. And I will defend Crystal a little bit, because she lost her voice like 5 hours into BravoCon. So Olivia, maybe she just gave you a little wave, because she, like, at the Beverly Hills panel, it was like, she was struggling.
She sounded better at the Showgirls Watch What Happens Live on Sunday. And I told her that. And she was like, I realize that it's better if I just yell and then I'll figure it out tomorrow. And I'm like, good for you, sister. Like, good best for of you. Luck.
Yeah. Shout it out, girl. Shout it out. But I do love that she was able to, like, just like in her most horse at the Beverly Hills panel, like, Kyle, I thought you were coming out. I'm like, oh, she had one thing to say and one thing only.
She's like, actually, we don't talk much on the show about the fact that I own the second largest coconut water company in America.
That was literally it. And I was like, okay.
It's just so funny, because it's like, that is cool and impressive, but like, in that voice, there's just no way for it to land.
It's also exactly what he said. Oh, that's cool and impressive. Okay. And?
We need like a trip wherever the coconuts are being harvested. That's where Beverly Hills should go on a cast trip. I hope it's somewhere cool.
I hope be careful what you wish for. She's like, guys, Milwaukee.
They have like an indoor coconut farm in like the middle of nowhere.
No, truly. Honestly, that would be fun in its own way.
If those coconuts are coming from like somewhere chic and tropical, like we should be seeing that on the show.
That's actually, okay, so you know what? Okay, Crystal, you're getting a lot of redemption right now.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about Crystal another time. I want to also talk about the news that Lisa Hochstein is launching something new. It's a divorce service called Splitwell, which sounds like, what is it, Splitwise, that you use to like do the Venmo on a bachelor trip.
And let me tell you, anybody who's been on a group trip, Splitwise is not amicable. So I have been getting hit with, I'm like, what is this 250 fucking for? Like, it's insane, but go on.
So according to this website, which is not really active yet, but is like kind of, you know, a placeholder, it's supposed to help people get divorced, quote, without breaking the bank. It says it's powered by AI, just like Lisa's face photo editing apps. But she said that she shared it on Instagram and said that she's turning her pain into purpose. Okay. I like the idea of this. Like, I think this is, obviously Lisa has been put through the ringer with her divorce situation, but like,
so she knows firsthand the market.
She knows firsthand the market, but like, does she know firsthand how to
the law?
Yeah, like, she's doing this without breaking the bank, but like, I feel like all that really requires is like two willing parties who want to make the divorce easy.
That's the thing. I feel this only will work for amicable divorces, which you hear less and less of those happening. Like, Chris Appleton and Lucas Gage are not going to be using this because they're not amicable right now. So I feel that's the hard thing. And also, it's kind of to not break the bank, but divorce also is like, because you're illegal, anything is just expensive. So I really don't know how not breaking the bank it is. And then also with that, where, because I don't think this is just like, from the goodness of her heart, where does the finances for Lisa come into play? So I feel money has to come around some.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, how much of a business this is versus, like, she's getting some good headlines for, like, helping people avoid her woes. But also, it's like, most people aren't going to have her woes because they're not married to, like, a plastic surgeon who's, like, moving a new model into the house.
And also has the, like, the amount of money that she had to go. Like, it was so, because like, they were dealing with the millions and millions and 8,000 monthly supports and everything like that, where I feel everybody else is like, no, Lisa, we don't own a home together because we can't afford a home. So it's amicable.
But like, there are not very many people in the world who the issue with their divorce is that they want to like break down the ironclad prenup to get their husband's millions. Like,
They're like, girl, we have some, we have a decanter we got from our wedding gift, and it's from West Elm, so I would like it, but if he wants it, more power to him. Like, there's, right, I know, like, this.
It's like, okay, you're taking the Kia, I'll keep the Civic. Like,
oh, and if it's two cars, all right, you're rich as shit. Okay, so you guys have nothing to fucking complain about. You can afford an actual divorce lawyer.
No, but I'm interested to see if this is like a storyline this season or if it's something that she has cooking. Because a lot of the time it's like when the business sort of gets announced on social media, then it's like the next episode on the
show. So where they're like, oh my God, so guys, I've been working on this thing. And I mean, I'm also, I'm Lisa to me this season has been very, I mean, it's just been two episodes, but it's been very kind of like in a good swing. So if this is making her happy, I'm happy because she's vibing with everybody too. So I like her kind of mending, like bridging everything.
Yeah. I mean, she's not, you know, asking Gertie how she knows she has cancer and
know?
Then telling everybody else when she said she wouldn't. So I
you
feel
went
like
to the doctor, huh?
If you're not Larsa at this point, things are pretty good for you on Real Housewives of Miami.
Oh, yeah, man. But even Larsa's unbothered because she's been clapping back at everything. She's like, why is everyone mad?
She's like, Gertie, like, how would I have known that you had cancer? Why are you crying?
Why are you crying? Why are you crying? I'm like, there's two extremes, that and Adriana's reaction.
I saw this TikTok the other day that it was like, it's like Dr. Nicole and Larsa on Real Housewives of Miami. And Nicole's like, Larsa, Larsa. And then the Larsa's just like,
but that is it. Like, Larsa, when I saw that, I was like, oh, maybe she isn't fake because this is just who, she is who she is.
I do think Larsa is like, it's like at first you think that she's not being real, but then it's like, no, like we've never seen any other side of her. So at this point, it's like, if you've been on TV for 10 years with some gaps in between, like if you've shown me one consistent thing the whole time, I'm going to take that at face value at a certain point. Like
literally.
It's like, yeah, there are housewives and people that I've met that give something a little different in person or like, you know, in an interview or something. But if you've always kind of had the same vibe on the show, that's probably pretty much what you're bringing to the table.
That's what her and Marcus talk about off cam. Yeah. She's like, no, this is me. She's the greatest showman. I just imagine her just
you're
like
encroaching on
this
Erica's
is me.
Territory.
Oh, that's true. I forgot. Oh, sorry.
Dude,
bet it all.
I'm a showman.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe. And you're making like that mental checklist of if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. What would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier, so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue, to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want. With tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences, every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. We should talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Angie K's pretty pink poodle needs our attention.
I know people who have dyed their dogs kind of like that, and it's usually always surrounded by a cry for help. I don't know if that's the case for Angie. I know she was going through some stressful stuff with people coming at her marriage, but it is very, it gives me pause to see her dog like this. Pause.
It's like, I don't know if she really is that stressed out about people coming for her marriage.
That's
though. Because I feel like aside from her wanting to like come for Meredith for allegedly maybe starting a rumor, I feel like the actual like upsetness about the rumor itself was kind of limited to one or two scenes where it felt like that kind of was what she needed to perform. But like at this point, I feel like she just is kind of like, she's kind of worked her way into the group, and it almost is like, who cares about the rumor? I'm doing Housewives kind of well.
That's true. It made me enjoy her more because now she's kind of just like vibing and like poking a little more fun at herself and being a little less serious, which I think is a great thing for her, because I'm like, oh, now I don't mind her. Like, I'm just like, oh, she's like kind of just like in a silly little mode.
Yeah, I actually think that last week's episode where Monica and Lisa were going at it so much and Angie was sort of caught in the middle, I think that was a good pivot for her to not be so much the center of attention in like a loud way, but yes, to be kind of like in the middle a little bit more quietly, because that scene at Whitney's Présum Jewelry event with the sound bath and, you know, Angie's standing there in her like stupid blue Mugler bodysuit being like, Monica, that's low. I'm older than Lisa. Like,
that was my favorite line. It made me cry.
That was like the most charming moment I think Angie has had yet this season. And so I think now that it feels like she is kind of settling into her role in the group a little more, it's like not every moment feels as try hard, but at the same time, she still has these kind of ridiculous qualities like the pink dog and, you know, like she's, you know,
the full bodysuit to a 2 p.m. event.
Right. Like that clearly is who she is to a certain level. She's the one, you know, filming Andy's opening number at the Bravos, like she's Amy Poehler in Mean Girls, like with the phone up in the air. But it feels like it kind of belongs there more than it did at the beginning of the season.
That is really true, because now it's kind of just like, and also it's us getting to know her more, where it's kind of like, okay, these are her moments. Like she will wear a shirt that's just rainbow Versace letters and big letters and be like, this is my vibe. And it's kind of like, and I feel like she is better at kind of the not like fully in the drama, like you were saying. It's kind of like her and Heather have those similarities, where I don't love Heather when she's like having to fight with someone, but she's just a really funny person to watch in a scene. And Angie's now giving me that.
Yeah. And I think also Lisa has become so polarized against Monica that by comparison, Angie is able to sort of just like sit back for a minute, and it kind of makes Lisa look like the one who's being a little over the top in her feelings about Monica. And obviously a lot, I think, is going to happen with Monica between now and the end of the season, because, you know, clearly she's not good with Angie. She's not good with Heather. She's not good with pretty much anyone. But the whole thing of like Lisa being so hurt by Angie being like decently nice
cordial
to Angie, she's the ocular doesn't match the words.
And like, I love that she repeated that 3 times this episode, like to Whitney and then to Angie, and I was just like, oh girl, like I love however you found this metaphor, you stumbled upon this, but what are we doing?
She's like, yeah, it's all about the optics. It's all about the ocular. It's all about she can't quite get the words out, but she's like, I just don't like that these bitches are talking to each other.
You know what? And like, she can't get the words. That's what she was like, I'm mad. She could have just said like, this is not fair. I also didn't think it was that fair. I'm surprised. And maybe because she just didn't, if Whitney was talking to me like she was talking to you at her house, I'm sure I was expecting a little more of a blow up between Lisa and Whitney. When Whitney's like, in my home with my children, with my husband not here, we're not cursing and that's not what we do. And I was like, Whitney, baby. Whitney.
It's like, respectfully, Brooks has heard like the B word before.
Yeah. And also it's like, so you like, do you want Meredith to talk about the rumors that she's been saying about you're on your hot tub with? Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we giving, like, making Lisa feel so bad? We're saying a little fuck.
I think also, like, just one episode ago, Whitney invited all of these women to her daughter's 13th birthday party. Like, if you don't want drama to happen in the vicinity of your children, maybe don't invite people that hate each other to your kid's birthday party.
A concept.
I also like the way Lisa like responds to people just makes me so happy when she's like, what did you hear me scream? What did I scream? Tell me what I screamed at your jewelry event with the sound bath. Like, I wasn't screaming. Like, it didn't happen. Like, if she says it didn't happen, it just didn't.
It didn't happen. And then I love to do see there's like this tweet where it's like me when someone's explaining game instructions to me and I'm not paying attention. And it's like, yeah, when Whitney's talking to her and she's like, understood. Got it.
She's like, yep, mm-hmm, Let's move on. Maybe I should be mad at her for having a cash bar and no food.
Well,
check that.
And some things are fair. So I was going to say, a cash bar for an event?
In 2023, I don't understand how these women have not learned that you cannot have a cash bar at a filmed event for Real Housewives, because aside from the like real world etiquette of it, it will come up on camera to make you look bad and cheap and poor.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And also, because it's like not just for the ladies, I'm like, it was an open event to the public. Like, let the people who are excited to see you have a free bottom shelf Chardonnay. What's like when Jessel said at the reunion, the wine was free. I don't know.
Like, I still remember like 4 seasons ago on Real Housewives of Potomac when Candace and Chris's anniversary party was a cash bar, the Denim and Diamonds. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like, reason I should remember that, but I do, because it was a plot point on the show.
And also because it's cash bar, you always remember the worst things about a wedding or any event. So everyone tread lightly with that.
Totally. Oh my God. Seeing Meredith and Seth bumble through recording a podcast was so triggering to me.
I also was so confused. I'm like, why are they on Zoom but not recording it on Zoom? And I was like, oh, because there's a producer. I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, but I mean, there is no worse feeling than I didn't hit record button. But I'm also, I was very LOLing that was their moment together.
I like that so their podcast is like all about their relationship, but it seems like they're doing an audiobook chapter by chapter, just like recounting their story. Because they're like,
and then Meredith, like,
see.
He doesn't remember.
They're like, let's see. We picked up at, it was at this point. Okay, where do we go from there? It's like, what is this podcast? And it's like,
well, that, and Meredith, like, well, Seth hated me then. We're like, what are we getting into here? And I'm like, meanwhile, the Marks house, they're like, kids, gather around. Let's talk about when your dad almost divorced me and we had a post nub or whatever.
Yeah, so finding out that they have a post nub from 15 years into their marriage when they were moving from Chicago to Utah and she was worried he would leave her. And the post nup, she says, is only for custody purposes because in Utah, apparently, divorces are very favorable to the man, which doesn't shock me. But it's like, this is... That's interesting because Seth is like, well, I wasn't going to leave you. And it's like, well, you got the postnup for some reason.
I think you both have to sign that. Also, postnup is a very funny word. I was like, oh, you're postnup. Oh, give you an hour.
Didn't Ashley and Michael have a postnup?
They had something that I don't get. I think, because that's like when she signed it. I guess that is what that is. All I know is I always expected her to get more money.
I know. It's so depressing. Like, obviously, like, Ashley was just on the show a couple days ago, and, like, we had a great conversation, but I'm like, girl, this divorce situation, we gotta figure something out.
Because it's still not finalized, even though Potomac filmed, like, months ago?
She said, like, I think she said in one of her BravoCon interviews that she has not technically filed for divorce yet.
Ash.
She's like fully dragging her feet, and it's obviously it's like benefiting her in a certain way, but also she's still married.
Yeah, girl, what are we doing here?
I don't know. It's tough.
Oh, that just made me so stressed. Okay. This is the investment I get sometimes where I'm like, Ashley, no, please. You have your coastal relaxation home.
Seaside in the city. Where's the water?
Seaside.
far be it for Mia to be the one criticizing her like cute little house. It's like, babe,
I know. Wait, it is funny, like, watching these while living in a city, because I'm like, wait, Mia's apartment is I'm obsessed with it, but then I'm like, oh, from Potomac, or like from like people who have home standards, they're like, what is this apartment?
Right. No, it's so different, like watching somebody like downsize on a Housewives show, and it's like, oh, so you only have 5 bedrooms now. Got it. Okay.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Oh, my God. How are you? How are you surviving?
It's tough. That's for sure. I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the 3 beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Okay, so we get another classic scene between Monica and Mother Linda.
Oh, my Lord.
Their relationship, truly, it's like every time we see them, it just is like down the spiral another few levels. Okay, so Monica's mom loves to be on Twitter, and LD Millionaire, she tweeted again after the episode last night regarding the car. Monica had not made an on-time payment in 2 years. 2 years, not one. The first on-time payment came this year in October 2023. I'm not playing this game anymore. I am being maligned in the worst possible way. Hashtag R-H-O-S-L-C. She also tweeted earlier this week that somebody was like, girl, why did you get her a Range Rover if you knew she couldn't make the payments? And she was like, Monica's perfectly capable of making the payments, and she swore to high heaven that she would. And it's not a question of whether she can make the payments. It's that she doesn't want to. And it's like, huh? Okay. If these two women, obviously they have deep-seated issues, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Linda wants to go to therapy. Monica says that that's not going to work because it hasn't in the past.
Linda wants to go to therapy on camera. Linda does not want to go to actual therapy is my thoughts and opinions on it.
Yes. And that's kind of where I was coming from, that like the fact that Linda is hashing out the details of the car payments on Twitter is so telltale to me that she has no interest in actually like building a bridge to fix something with her daughter. And I think I've seen a lot of people. There clearly is like a mixed opinion on Monica right now, which is totally valid, but that a lot of people, specifically in the situation with her mom, there are people who feel like Monica is being kind of the unreasonable party, and that it's like she's the one who's not letting her see the kids. She's the one who doesn't want to go to therapy. She's the one XYZ. And I definitely think that Monica is like, you know, a contributing party in her issues with her mom. It's a two-way street, but it's like, we have just met these people, and it is, I totally believe Monica that there is this like decades long pattern of bullshit coming from her mom, basically, because just from the behavior on the show and on Twitter, I'm like, this does not seem like a person who is really committed to like improving things.
Exactly. So that's my thing. Whenever people are like, I don't get why Monica's acting like that. Like, that's her mom. I'm like, you've never dealt with a narcissistic personality disorder in your life, and God bless that you don't have to deal with that. Cause I see, like, I feel Monica, of course, has her issues, but so much of it is just like defense mechanisms of like shutting down her mom and not granting her the space to like overpower, which I feel she probably did to her so much in the past. And it is kind of one of those things where it's like the mom is like bringing the Range Rover head to toe Burberry. I'm like, I just read her up and down so much where like you. If this wasn't being filmed right now, you maybe would be acting a little more neutral because you probably wouldn't be trying to form anything with Monica at all. And I do feel Monica is doing her part in breaking this, because she seems to be better with her kids from the little glimpses that we're seeing.
That was interesting this week to hear Linda use the breaking the cycle terminology about why they should go to therapy, when we've already heard Monica be so clear about the fact that she feels like she's breaking the cycle with her kids, where her mom was really perpetuating the cycle with her. And I mean, I always hope for positive outcomes in situations like this. So I, you know, at some point it would be great if Monica and her mom could like break that within themselves. But like you said, it's like if somebody has like a narcissistic personality situation, or, you know, whatever type of issues they're clearly dealing with, some people just don't have the capability to have productive relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And it does feel like Monica, at least what Monica's telling us, is that she pretty much is at the point with her mom where she doesn't feel like it's worth trying anymore. And so to see Linda pulling up in her, you know, pigtails and pajama pants, it's like... You clearly knew the cameras. You clearly knew Monica was like filming at her house and made the decision to show up right now. And like the theatrics of Monica being like, you better get to walk in because it's cold, bitch. And she's like, are you serious? Monica, are you fucking kidding me? Monica?
Oh, and then she tweeted, I had to walk a mile and a half. Okay. Call an Uber.
First of all, you're very generous for saying she's in head-to-toe Burberry, because I don't think any of that came from the boutique.
For Ferry. And because I also was like, I don't think they make lounge pajama pants that are like fuzzy.
No, it's like the same thing going to Mary, Heather going to Mary Cosby's house and being like, oh, she has Chanel pillows. I'm like, baby, Chanel didn't make those pillows.
No, they don't make pillowcases with just big old C's. But I do think, because it's like an, a happy, I feel like it's a thing for Monica. I think sometimes like the happy ending situation is not always like the picture perfect situation, where I feel their happy ending could just be a separate situation. But I think hopefully what I hope Monica learns is you can't expect someone to be who they're not. So like Linda lets you know who she is every single time we see her, and she lets Monica know. So I hope Monica is at a point or gets to a point where she's like, okay, that is my mom. I have to set up my like a strong ass boundary, which I think she's doing, and then go from there. And it's gonna ruffle some feathers. I think Linda's just getting uncomfortable with a boundary existing.
Right. Like their happy ending could look like Linda coming over for dinner once a month and they have a nice time and then she goes home after 2 hours like that. Yep. There are lots of different things. And like, I, you know, obviously it would be nice if everyone can get along, but it's like, yeah, like Vovo is probably not going to be babysitting the kids every time Monica's busy, because that doesn't seem to be the best situation.
The best situation. And also has
I
to be where it's like
Vovo. That's fun to me. Like Portuguese. I don't Portuguese or anything. So I'm like, oh, Vovo. I like that.
Vov, I know. I'm like, I do kind of, that is like, that is kind of the fun element of it. So I like, hopefully on Twitter, she's just like, so we can.
On Twitter, she's like, I'm a good Vovo. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, Vovo, call a Volvo on Uber X. You don't have to walk a mile and a half in your fake Burberry. Hey.
Oh, God. Oh, God. See, Heather at Mary's house really also just threw me for a loop.
That was another situation where I was, I'm not surprised where it's like, Lisa, you could have push back at Whitney a little bit. I'm like, Heather, I guess she was like, I guess Mary Cosby is a hard orbit to like, when you're in there, you're like, I just want to get out. So I could see why she didn't push back. But Heather, she said you look inbred twice.
Yeah, that was weird when she was like, do you really think that? And she's like, yeah. And Heather's just like, okay, I guess. Yeah. It's like, that's when you get up and leave.
Yeah, that's when you're like, no, actually. And it is annoying too, because it's like one of the many times, both I feel like on the show and then recently on Watch What Happens Live, where like Mary just comes for Heather's appearances and looks and everything, where it's like, yeah. Ugh. And I'm glad she took a little, not clap back, but like a little response to the Gucci comment on Watch What Happens, when I'm like, Heather, I don't want you just feeling bulldozed right now.
Yeah, I get confused, honestly, what's happening with Mary this season, because she's been in the last few episodes less. Like, she's definitely kind of like slowly backing away from the group. But then we have this scene where it's just like Heather going over to her house just kind of to like chit chat. And it does feel, Andy said something at BravoCon about how like clearly throughout the season they could see that Mary like didn't really want to be there, and they kind of adjusted accordingly as the season went on. Like, I don't think she goes on the trip to Bermuda. Like, she, you know, obviously wasn't at BravoCon. Like, I think her time on the show is kind of like, you know, drawing to a close week by week. But it's just kind of like, okay, so I guess I'm glad we get to see the Spy Kids like Floops Castle furniture one more time. But then it's like they're talking about the book, and Mary says they have a connection with their church upgrowing, which I've never heard of upgrowing before. But then she's like, she really just wants to talk shit about the book, because she's like, Heather wants both. She wants the church and her dark side. And she's like mad that Heather made her seem bougie and poised, which like, those weren't even words that she used to describe Mary, but also if she had, that would be pretty accurate. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, what is this meeting? Because it's like, did Mary invite Heather to her house? Or is this like a filming? It just was like, what are we really doing here?
It reminded me of like when Whitney and Mary had dinner the last episode, where I was like, wait, what is anything going on? It is interesting when you were talking about how Mary's critique of Heather, that's sort of Heather's critique of Lisa. Where she wants the church, but also the funds. I'm like, okay, so there's a really, everyone's going in this weird middle ground for different ways.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison. And it feels like with Heather and Whitney and Mary, it's kind of like there doesn't really seem to be an actual purpose for these women, like sitting down and talking through things with Mary. Whereas with Heather and Lisa on this episode, we actually see them have a really nice kind of breakthrough moment yeah. in their relationship. And I mean, Heather and Lisa have been in a very tough spot, I would say, pretty much the entire time they've been on this show together. And I think this
franchise, yeah,
this week was kind of their clearest moment of seeing each other and, you know, coming to this understanding, acknowledgement of like their relationship with the church and how they're going through their journey and all of this stuff. And like, I don't know if that will last. It seems like it's kind of, you know, that exists in a bubble and then their like group drama is going to be its own thing. But like, that actually feels like it has a purpose. Whereas the stuff with Mary, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and I think that's almost probably why Heather was like, let me just say yes. Let me just yes myself out. Because after they finished talking, she's like, thank you for inviting me. Didn't touch a single thing. I was like, I'm just going to go. I am curious if, because I was like, Lisa is not having a bunch of allies this season. So I was like, that's probably why she's able to have more of a connection with Heather in this moment. She's like, oh, we were just confused. I love you. I love you. I love you. Because like Whitney's yelling at me. I'm mad at Angie. Monica sucks. And Meredith is Meredith.
That's a good point. Like Meredith seems kind of checked out. Like Meredith yeah. is not, she seems not very interested in getting involved in the whole kind of like group whirlwind of Angie K's husband rumor and the surrounding chaos of it, because even like, you know, Angie sees Meredith this week and really kind of forces herself on Meredith once again. And this time Meredith at least sticks around long enough to like listen to Angie K's boilerplate statement and then to do the like, I'm sorry that made you feel that way, but also I didn't do anything. And, you know, I mentioned having knowledge, but I didn't say the knowledge or threaten the knowledge. It's like, it's very like plausible deniability from Meredith Marks, but she doesn't, she's like, she's not going to give Angie anything above and beyond that kind of like level one acknowledgement. And then she's out. So it's like, I mean, I love Meredith. Like, I think she is a very interesting person, but also it's like, she's not really like, she's not like stepping up to the plate in terms of the group dynamic, at least since the Palm Springs trip.
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know if it was one of the things, like, last season was a lot for her, so I don't know if now she's kind of like, y'all have a little bit of fun, I'm just going to be doing my podcast, hopping in and out. Like, there's so many times where she's like, I'm just going to leave now, I think. Like, Mary's rubbing off on her, where she's like, you can just leave, Meredith.
Yeah, I almost feel like with this cast, maybe because they've had such, like, weird casting situations, and obviously Jen going away, like, maybe the four of them, like, the core four, feel like they kind of are like indisposable a little bit, where it's like for Meredith, like she's gonna get asked back as long as, you know, she wants to stay on the show. So she's kind of like, yeah, like whatever. I got possessed in Palm Springs and then I can kind of like chill for the rest of the season. And then
that's
I'll
true.
Decide later if I still want to be here. Cause it's like, it doesn't really feel like they're not gonna fire Meredith Marks because she was like a little boring.
No, they can. And also the amount of times Andy quoted her at BravoCon, girl is like, and exactly what he said. She was like, instead of like, she just like, she's given like her, this season is sort of her one hit wonder where she's like, you know what I did? I dropped my banger of a single in Palm Springs. I'm just going to coast on that. That's my jagged little pill for the rest of the season. She's like, I'm just going to do the tour for the 5th anniversary, the 10th anniversary, the 15th anniversary. Just going to get myself to this reunion.
Right. It's like Whitney's going to host two events in one episode. Heather's going to have like a, you know, a crazy phone call in Bermuda. I can take my foot off the gas. And Lisa's going to do the most Ari, Angie and Monica. So Angie goes to Lisa's house to kind of like set the record straight about what's going on with her and Monica. And then we get this flashback to,
I did Google the bakery too. The bakery that she got the croissants from. It looks so good. Meters. I was like, fuck, now I want to go to Salt Lake City.
She's like, I'll have a croissant with you. We'll sit on the sofa. So we get this flashback to Angie and Monica a week prior. So I think before Bobby's birthday party is when it's supposed to have happened. Angie and Monica having this sit down where Monica apologizes for Greek Easter and they're holding hands across the table with each other as they have this moment of like being friends again, or for the first time, it's a little unclear. But it's so interesting to me that this was something that we hadn't seen in real time, when it seems like that's like a major shift in the group. And then, because last week at both of Whitney's events, it did kind of feel like, wait, Monica and Angie get along now, and I understand why Lisa was confused.
Yes, because it was when they had the cake and Monica, Angie's like, oh yeah, my mom's an alcoholic. And they're like, ah, we love each other. And I was like, oh, that was odd. Okay.
Right. Like that was kind of a big shift. And so I do, as much as I think Lisa is kind of like a lot, I understand why she kind of was like, last time I saw these two women, they hated each other.
I also get Lisa where you're like, okay, if you're my friend and we have a shared enemy and now you're friends with the enemy, you got to send me a text. Especially because I think right. Lisa felt stupid where she's like, no, I'm mad at her for you. And now I'm spiraling right. to now I have my own thing with her and you're over it. But now I stepped in it. So now I'm caught up in the flames.
Right. Like Angie's issues with Monica accounted for at least some percentage of Lisa's dislike of Monica. Yeah. Like it was a piece of the puzzle. And then now she is like, wait, I'm confused because you told me you didn't like her and now it doesn't add up.
No, she is confused.
She's like, you're projecting your issues onto me. Like you're insecure.
Oh, that when she said that, I was like, Lisa, where are you grasping at for this? Because that was just mean.
Well, because Angie brought up like that Lisa was mad a few episodes ago because she was painting birdhouses with Heather. It does feel a little bit like Lisa is frustrated that now Angie kind of is in a better place with her group relationships than she is. Like, I don't think there's nothing to that.
Yeah, because I think because Lisa was like, okay, Angie's going to be my girl. She's going to be my little person. And now, oh, she is good with everybody besides Meredith. But Meredith isn't even not good with her. She's kind of just over her. So I think Lisa's now like, well, now I'm fucked into a corner because everyone, if there was someone who is like feuding the most or up until we see whatever happens with Monica, Lisa is in her villain era, we can call it. And I don't think she likes it.
Well, you know, nobody puts Baby Gorgeous in a corner, so I don't think she'll think she'll be on the outs for long because let's face it, Monica's days of being in a good place with anyone are numbered. So
lawsuits pending. Yes.
Lawsuits pending. God, I have been enjoying this season so much and I am now stressed out thinking about the last few episodes and the reunion because it's just it's gonna get dark.
It's going to get so, so bleak. And I'm like, I thought we were going to have one season without legal stuff, but here we are.
I know. I think we'll make it to the reunion at least before we get, lawsuits, but.
And then Alisa Hoxie and App will help us then.
Yes, we will host the reunion via Splitwell. It'll all be conducted over AI. Jody.
Yes.
Jody will be running the back end, the AI stuff at Lisa's behest. Danny, thank you so much for joining me. Tell everyone where they can listen to you and find you.
All right. Well, if you're listening to this, chances are you're obviously a Bravo fan. So you can listen to my Page Six podcast, Virtual Reality, out every Thursday with Evan Real. And also I host the Betches podcast, Not Another True Crime podcast with Sarah, who we all love. And that's out every Monday. And you can follow me on Instagram at Cash with Danny, Cash with a K.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Danny. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And we have more exciting stuff coming up soon, so make sure you're subscribed. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.